I'd really like for you to tell me a little bit about your campaign, where it started and what that was like.
Well, it was more of a grassroots campaign, Glennis. Obviously, I was way underfunded. I raised a total and spent maybe $200,000 to $250,000. I know some of that was most of the money I carried over from old campaigns. My fundraising itself was probably $100,000. And obviously, Mr. Justice spent $2.5 million, and he won. I'm comforted by the fact in the area that knows me best, I won. I gave it my best shot. And the message I think that I was espousing, I think you're going to find Glennis is the truth. If you think whoever's the next governor is going to be able to take office and not raise some taxes and revenues, you're fooling yourself. That's my message: investing in people, investing in education, investing in substance abuse programs, and investing in infrastructure, roads, highways, and most particularly broadband. That's our path forward. Whoever's going to be in that governor's office, if we are to move ourselves forward, that's really what we're going to have to do.
Let me put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, do you think we're in good hands moving forward?
I don't know. I'm a concerned. I've seen Senator Cole, and while I like Bill personally, I think they're taking us down the wrong path. It makes us better as a state. I've seen a lot of the radical Republican agenda that they've been running, whether it's raw milk and RFRA and, attacks on the gay community, and it appears to be driven in large part by not so much sound public policy, but by an attempt to consolidate political power. And one of the reasons I ran in the Democratic agenda as for governor is because I haven't heard anything out of Mr. Justice that would cause me to believe that he truly believes in a lot of the Democratic ideals and values. He's been very silent, during the campaign, and was holed up in the bunker. And I know he's been a recent convert to the party, just having switched to a Democrat, the Democratic Party, back in February of 2015. And then in May filed the pre-candidacy to be the governor. But I've yet to hear a lot of specifics out of him that would lead me to believe that he's going to have a progressive inclusive agenda that will really attack the issues and really double down on the things we need to do with education and stuff. So
talk to me a little bit. You've got work ahead of you with the budget.
I predict they're going to do exactly what I've been telling them they have to do now that the election's over. You'll see, I think, them embracing and going forward with exactly what I've been saying for the last 6 months on the campaign trail. We have to raise some taxes. And I guarantee you, whether it's Senator Cole as the Republican now nominee for governor, and Jim Justice now as our Democrat standard bearer, there is no way, and even Governor Tomlin is now going to advance as early as next week several revenue enhancement measures: a cigarette tax, probably a consumer sales tax, possibly a gasoline tax, a cell phone tax. You're going to see a cafeteria menu of new tax measures introduced, and we're going to have to pass at least some of them to raise a couple hundred million dollars, or we're not going to balance a budget. We've cut 20-25% of the budget in the last 3 or 4 years. There's no fat left. You are now going to be cutting into programs that truly will hurt our people. When you start shutting down free health clinics, when you start shutting down state police barracks, when you start shutting down libraries, cutting funding to education, I think is just so counterproductive. I don't think the Senate Democrats will go along with it. I can assure you I'll rant and rail against it. And going forward, what we need to do is invest in our people to build our workforce. The biggest challenge we have as a state is we have a low workforce participation rate, which means we have so few of our people that are working. Why? Because they don't have the skill sets or trained or education to do the jobs that the world's moving into. Research and development and healthcare and internet and things of that nature, research and development. We have to redefine ourselves as a state. We've been a coal-dependent economy for 100 years. And I'll tell folks, I'll walk in a room and say, what's been the most dominant industry and the history of the state. And they'll say, coal. I said, well, is there a war on coal? Hell yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you a question. During coal's heyday, was West Virginia's economy in the top five, middle five, or bottom five nationally? They'll scratch their head and probably, oh, we're probably in the bottom five. So if we win the war on coal, where are we going to be? Top five, middle five, bottom five. If the answer conclusively is it's going to be still be in the bottom five. Why are we directing so much energy into winning a war that even if you win, you're still last? It's counterproductive and it's nonsense. We need to redefine ourselves like they have in Pittsburgh when they lost their steel industry and became a research, a commerce center, an education mecca, truthfully, were for higher education. We've got WVU, we've got Marshall, we've got West Liberty, we've got Wheeling Jesuit, we've right next to Carnegie Mellon. You know, we've got the research corridor over in north central West Virginia. We've got a growing part of the eastern panhandle, and yet to continue to pound the drum that, you know, we need to have a pick and shovel coal mining in order to bring our economy back is just a terrible fallacy.
What's next for you?
Truthfully, I've been in this legislature for 20 years, and it's you could burn out on doing it. It's going on 19 years. I had 19 years in the legislature. I have served in the capacity as judiciary chair, acting president, president of the Senate, minority chair, minority. I've done everything I can do in that venue, and I have appreciated my opportunity to serve the people of the state as their senator, but you know, it was time for me to move up or go home. And, you know, I've got five kids. Three of them are ages 10, 7, and 2-year-old sons. And I decided, being gone 2 and 3 months a year, 4 months a year serving in the legislature, living out of a hotel room, you know, it just wasn't fair to them anymore. So I decided we're going to live under the same roof somewhere, whether it's here in Glendale or down in Charleston. So it looks like we're going to set up stakes in Glendale or stay here. You know, the end of the day, I'll return to my practice of law full time, probably make more money and spend more time with my family. So it's not really in with my wife. So it's not a bad fallback. So, you know, I look forward to that. The last couple of years, particularly as I had to pack the car and head to Charleston, it was hard to get in that car and pull out the driveway. You know, I love my state. I've given it my all. I've laid it all on the field. We lost. I'm a big sports fan. Sometimes the best team and sometimes the best player doesn't always win. You know, that doesn't always happen. So appreciated the opportunity. It's been an honor to serve the people of this district and serve as a leadership capacity in the state. And I'll continue, if asked, to serve in any other way I can to help move us forward. I do love my state, and I truly do, and I only want what's best for it.